Hello and welcome back to the Atlantic Hour with me, Eva.
And me, Tom.
We're unfortunately missing a co-host.
Yeah, unfortunately there were some allegations about James and he's had to step away from the podcast for a while.
Yeah, upsettingly. No, he's doing a report on the state budget, apparently, in Hartford. So, networking.
Yeah.
We're not as important to him anymore.
The podcast is the most important thing.
Yeah, so really like free reign today. You don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
There's been a lot of blood, sweat and tears to actually press the record button this morning. I think Tom and I came into the studio about 20 minutes ago. And yeah, we're just recording now. yeah, so that goes to say that we need James, but we don't have James.
But now we
today.
Don't need James.
Yeah, well, depending on how this goes.
Yeah.
could all
then
be...
This descends into anarchy by about the 11th minute.
Yeah, well, whatever the people say,
yeah.
they might just want a spin-off.
Well, I think quite a lot of the people are related to me, so...
Yeah,
I mean, this is already a spin-off. We're already a spin-off of a show that had one season. The Walking Dead didn't even do that.
To be fair, this is exactly what we wanted. Tom and I said we were going to do a spin-off season.
Exactly.
And not tell James.
Because his rampant misogyny annoys me quite a bit.
Yeah.
Eva doesn't mind.
But. So you're going to be hearing a lot from me today, which is new.
Maybe he
and
was
fantastic.
Right.
Well, you know, maybe Ash should have come on.
She's gone.
And she's left.
Oh dear. Yeah.
See, this is current affairs talk.
Yeah.
Okay, well, without further ado, what would you like to talk about today, Thomas?
Oh, I think one of the most pressing issues in the world today, because this is now a global show. We only spoke about America in the first episode, and we're probably going to speak about America in this one.
It's across the pond.
It's supposed to be about the world, and in the world, people are concerned about DeepSeek.
What's DeepSeek, Tom?
DeepSeek is an AI model similar to that of your ChatGPTs.
Why are you advertising it?
I'm not advertising it. I'm describing it.
Yes.
And essentially, it's a Chinese AI large language model. And it is been made for much, 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 much cheaper than ChatGPT and all the sorts of AIs that Meta are developing, Meta X, all these ones. And it was made in China, obviously, which has large security concerns, especially for Americans, but it's also been banned in Australia now. So it, on tests, it performs as well as ChatGPT. I think it's made for around $6 million, whereas, you know, ChatGPT, OpenAI receiving $600 million US grants to be developing these models to make sure America's ahead of the curve. So obviously, it's a bit of an embarrassment for the US. It had a massive effect on the stock market, crashing NVIDIA, the largest company in the world. And there are now sort of accusations that it was built with NVIDIA chips, which aren't, there's an embargo on it in importing to China.
Yeah, well, I've just asked ChatGPT what ChatGPT thinks of DeepSeek.
Oh, really?
And they're actually quite lovely about it. It's like backing up your best friend.
Yeah.
We've said, DeepSeek's approach challenges the pervading notion that advanced AI development necessitates massive investments in infrastructure by achieving impressive results.
But I guess the problem with DeepSeek, as ChatGPT has handily pointed out for me, is that it does have biases in its answers. Mm. So like if you ask it about Tiananmen Square, it might answer and stuff like that.
Because it's a Chinese AI startup, right?
Yeah. So
wow.
There are also problems with it. I think it's banned in the US right now. I think it's banned in Australia because it was massive. It was the most downloaded app for a while.
So why would people use DeepSeek over ChatGPT?
You have to pay to use the ChatGPT 4.0, I think. I assume that DeepSeek works on the same level, and you have to make an account for DeepSeek. So I downloaded it, but I haven't made an account. I don't entirely trust it.
Yeah, you could send all your information over.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Donald Trump uses DeepSeek to write all his speeches.
Maybe.
That would explain a lot. Write me an inauguration speech and mention Manifest Destiny is basically what he put in. So if you want to be president, guys, just download DeepSeek.
Obviously, this sort of helps Elon Musk's agenda to sort of restrict AI. So being back to America.
It's
always Musk.
And it all roads lead back to Musk. Talking about America and just powerful men. Trump has made claims yesterday that he wants to take over Gaza.
He wants to make it into a resort.
So he basically wants to kick all the Palestinians out of Gaza and send them to Egypt.
Yeah.
And then make it... Oh, he said he wants to make it a...
The Riviera of the Middle East, he said.
There's actually a very funny photo of... So Netanyahu and Trump met, and there's a photo of them, sort of shoulder to shoulder, reading Netanyahu's biography. It's actually quite cute. I thought they were reading Trump's biography at first, but then they opened it, and it was Netanyahu's face on the front.
I'm glad he can read.
I'm glad he can read. But so this is talking about what we were talking about in our last podcast and Trump's whole idea of increasing American expansionism and the whole notion of manifest destiny, which is kind of central to American ideology.
But I wonder what sort of motivates, because this wasn't a prevailing part of his... This is a new ideology. Obviously, he did speak about... I remember in his 2016... term. I remember him speaking about buying Greenland, but I remember it was like a one-week news story. And then, to be fair, this could be the same. But I wonder why... Is it purely an ego thing? Is it, you know, like... Remember, like, in the... this comes to mind, is like in the Scottish independence election, the whole... One of David Cameron's motivating things is he didn't want to be the prime minister who lost a fifth of
it's
the country.
It's all an ego thing.
Yeah, I think a third of the country... Donald Trump want to be the guy who... Like, presidents who brought in... I don't know the president who brought Alaska in, but I'm sure they're very well-known. Like, presidents who... Thomas Jefferson did the Louisiana Purchase.
Maybe we could fact-check that. Yeah.
But, like, these are the legendary presidents.
Yeah.
So, like, is this a shortcut way of establishing... Because especially if it's a foreign, like, a big foreign... Like, the president who brought Canada or Greenland into the US or, you know, is a big deal.
I also just think that... This whole... Because America was basically founded on the fact that they were, like, an exceptional nation and that their whole purpose was to, like, expand their frontiers, constantly find new frontiers. And whilst that... The idea of expansionism kind of dwindled in the 20th century, but it sort of just became American interventionism.
Yeah.
So it's in, like, the world wars and especially in Afghanistan. I think Trump is now... trying to push that agenda even further, because he views the whole kind of idea that like America triumphs over all other nations and they're kind of like the world's like international police power, and I think he views that as just like this like masculinity thing in terms of like he can be superior and as you said he can be the president who takes over these nations without any care for their autonomy, I would like to add.
Yeah, exactly. It's and a lot of it is just like, maybe I'm not reading enough, but it's never that detailed. Like it's never like I want to take over Greenland and I want to do this with their natural gases and I want to do this for the people. I want to do these infrastructure projects. The same with Canada. I want to make Canada America's 51st state. Well, first things first, Canada has states in it, so are they all going to be one state? Are they all, you're going to split Canada up into, like, they seem to just be like shock jock, like, I'm going to, like, the same with I'm going to build a Mar-a-Lago resort in Gaza. It's sort of ignoring the issue. It's like, I feel like it's very, it's attention grabbing and it keeps him at the top of the news every single day.
But I also think what's slightly scary about this is that unlike Greenland and like Denmark and Canada, he has very good relations with Netanyahu. And
but Netanyahu's going to be going soon.
Yeah,
like he's a literal international criminal, and he is in his term. He has to call an election at some point.
Yeah, but even so, that begs the question: who's going to take over? I mean, who would want to take over?
Well, I don't know. I'm not as familiar with Israeli politics as I clearly should be.
No, yeah, same.
But
I think it's different because obviously with Greenland, you know, I think both President Green and President Denmark are both saying like the country's not for sale.
Yeah.
Whereas in Gaza, there's maybe slightly more talk about.
Are Israel in control of Gaza?
True.
The ceasefire isn't that sort of the whole argument?
I think they need.
But I guess the point is that like, Gaza needs billions and billions of billions of reinvestment into every kind of infrastructure.
Yeah.
And like the Trump administration, clearly they've shown they're not interested in regenerative or like in, like projects or international aid without their own direct inputs. Like it seems like they're going like, we're either all in or we're not in at all. Like we're either here, we're running this country, or we're not involved in the international aid system for it. So, I mean, and realistically, America and the EU are the only, or maybe, and China, obviously, but we'd rather it not be China, are like the only sort of powers in the world that could probably help rebuild, you know, a country almost. Like every single mode of like infrastructure has been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It needs massive, so like, is it better to, but then, like, if you're building it as a resort, then what? It's not the people still need to live there. Like,
well, if not, unless they kick them all out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like,
he's just trying to displace a whole population.
But is it not sort of like such a like? We did this bit. They did this war over whether they could live in Gaza, and they finally come to a ceasefire. And we obviously hope it lasts.
And then
the first thing they go is, oh yeah, you've won your, you know, you've kept your land, you've defended it. Well done, you've, you know.
You haven't won your land.
But you know, actually, we think it would be better as a Centre Parks.
Yeah.
Centre Parks is a
little cute holiday destination.
Yeah, it's a holiday place.
Some Ryanair flights.
Yeah. Like, it just seems a bit odd to, like.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like he doesn't really understand. And I'm sure he has hundreds of people around him who understand the problems in Gaza. But it seems like he's gone, well, it's on the sea.
Yeah, but it's there.
Yeah.
Might as well take it.
It's a bit of land by the sea in a very hot country.
Let's do it. And it's got a lot of popular attention in the media recently.
Yeah.
Tick, tick, tick. It'll make me more popular.
Exactly.
It'll make me more money.
Well, obviously, Israel put money into Tel Aviv being that. So I'm not sure they would let Trump do that just for their own purposes.
I guess if Trump does take Gaza, then literally nothing's going to stop Xi Jinping.
Because I just don't take, I don't know about you, like, I struggle to take these seriously.
I thought you said, I just don't take countries.
No, I mean, I personally, I have no countries. I'm embarrassed as a man to say that. You know,
no, but
I have
think...
no countries. My country count is zero.
Oh, yeah, he's displaced.
Yeah. Got my eye on a couple. I'm not gonna reveal which one. No.
Please.
Just saying.
Please, can I guess the continent?
You may guess the continent.
South America.
Maybe.
If anyone wants to know what Thomas's holiday destination is for spring break, it's a Spanish-speaking country.
Well, I'm going to. Is Mexico North America?
Why would Mexico be North America? That's Central America.
No, but there's no continent. Central America isn't a continent.
Well, no, Mexico, yeah.
Anyway, speaking of Mexico. Tariffs.
That was a good link, and you ruined it. I'm so sorry. I didn't know
I see why James does it now.
James
would never let you talk for this long.
James says everything he thinks everything through before he says it.
Yeah.
It's very. Anyway, besides talking about Mexico, not James.
Yeah.
Mexico tariffs. Well, so Trump has kind of gone back on his tariff
ban. Yeah, so it's sort of an interesting saga.
So he made this whole deal about raising tariffs, facing tariffs. 25%, am I correct?
25% on Canada, 25% on Mexico, and an additional 10% on China, which I think would take them to 60%.
Yeah, and he's now stopped that.
He's temporarily paused for a month the ones on Canada and Mexico. Mm. The ones in China are past the deadline last night.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going through in China now putting tariffs on certain American products. But it's the ones on, because we knew he was going to do the ones on China. That was one of his big, like, that was one of the highlights. That was one of the staples of his campaign was ramping up tariffs on China.
Yeah.
The interesting thing was sort of this trade war with Canada and Mexico over fentanyl.
Yes.
Which is, so from what I have read, is that basically fentanyl, the products of fentanyl, the ingredients of fentanyl are made in China. They're then shipped to Mexico and then obviously imported through, I think the vast majority of fentanyl comes through the southwest border.
Yeah.
So, and then Canada's there.
Yeah, I think what Trump is doing is basically he's trying to deal with complicated domestic issues abroad, is basically, so like he's not addressing the fact that there's a fentanyl crisis in the US.
Yes.
He's trying to deal with the fact that fentanyl's coming into the US instead of actually dealing with problems at home, which is not a amazing way to deal with.
No, it's not famously worked.
No.
It's the whole war on drugs.
Yeah, true.
I mean, not that I would know, Mum, but I've never even
Hello,
seen
Thomas's
one.
Mom.
But what is so confusing about it is that less than 1% of fentanyl that enters the US comes in from Canada.
Yeah.
And also 90% of it is coming through American ports.
Mm.
American-run ports, I mean.
If he has an issue with the fentanyl crisis, he should deal with the addiction rates in his own country.
Yes.
You know, I think that would be but obviously he's not going to do that. Doesn't think that's...
Yeah, but I guess...
he's looking for someone to, like, criminalise and, like,
yeah, exactly.
Demonise.
Well, so I guess the question is, like, if you were if you're an American, you're like, oh, I understand the chain here. Well, yeah. I understand the chain. I understand, like, China to Mexico to America. Cool. We punish China and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, I feel like this is part of his sort of... I want to take over Canada thing.
Yeah.
Canada's obviously very vulnerable right now because Trudeau is the Prime Minister.
For now.
But he's obviously not going to be Prime Minister in a few months.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like taking advantage of Canada where actually they have quite an unpopular leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think the motivation for including Canada in these sanctions is?
Well, I just think he's upset that they don't want to become the 51st state.
Yeah, but I
I think there's a part of him that's an ego thing.
Definitely.
And the part of what him wants to punish them. I think the other part is because he genuinely just doesn't know. He doesn't want to point the finger at himself.
Yeah.
So he has to point the finger at someone, and that finger just one of the fingers happens to just point to Canada.
I just find this Canada thing so interesting because it's like it was never
an issue.
It was never a part of his campaign either.
Yeah.
Like it really seems to have come out of completely nowhere,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And suddenly it's the biggest
it's
thing.
It's the biggest thing, yeah. I guess he thinks that it's just there.
And, like, it's Canada.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, it's a very, very important country. It's second, it's sort of second big country in the world. Largest land border in the world is across, this is just fun facts about Canada now.
Yeah.
but, like, it's not a threat, it's never been a threatening country to the US. It's always been one of its greatest allies. Is America too dependent on Canada? Well, clearly not if he feels like he can sanction it.
Yeah.
Is Canada too... Like,
I
guess...
I think it's just the whole expansion.
So, yeah. So, and obviously the culmination of it was that Canada agreed to send troops and two black helicopters to patrol borders...
Mm.
Black Hawk helicopters, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Not just black helicopters. Two black helicopters and one green helicopter.
No.
So there are two black Hawk helicopters to patrol this area of the border that they think the fentanyl is coming through and obviously put more troops there.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico has put 10,000 more troops on the border.
Yeah.
And obviously he's paused the tariffs. Canada obviously had its own set of tariffs prepared. I don't know if Mexico did, but it probably would have if the tariffs had gone through. So the question is, who won?
Ooh.
Is this a political win for Trump?
Well, I don't think it's over yet.
Is this a political win? Is this a loss being disguised as a win? Like, I took them to the table and I got them to back down. Is this, you know, what do you think this is for the Trump administration? Is this their first big win?
Well, I don't think they see it as a loss.
No, I don't think they've ever seen it. they still don't think they lost the election.
They didn't. I don't know what you're
Sorry.
About.
I love that. Have you seen that clip of the guy going like, it might be the, what's his name? Pete Hegseth.
Mm.
At his confirmation hearing. And the senators, and one of the guys is like, who won the 2020 presidential election? And he's like, Joe Biden served as the president from here to here. And he's like, no, but who won the election? And he's like, he was sworn in as president. And the guy's like, I can say that Donald Trump won the election, but like, it is mental.
It is absolutely
like,
mental.
So, like, it's almost like Because I think, like, yeah. It's so 1984. It's like...
Oh, Big Brother's always watching.
But it is like, if you've like, the whole like idea of like a newspeak, of like the words that you, like they basically, for in 1984, they basically simplify the dictionary so you can only say certain words. So like all nice things are double good. So like it's so like control over speech. Like you say, and then everyone who doesn't comply, or people who remember the previous words are got rid of. It's so like mental that like there are people. There's a whole like a large proportion of America now who don't feel like they can say that Joe Biden won an election, and he won the election with the most. The most votes ever. He won it by the most votes ever, and you're not allowed to say he won in like certain circles in America. It's so crazy.
Do you know what that sounds like?
Sounds like what?
A dictatorship.
Well, it is like it's crazy. Like,
well, it's like you can't talk about. It's like you can't talk about Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it is the exact same thing, and it's so mental that like you always see like.
I also think like because America's been it's founded on democracy, and they wanted. Yeah. You know, that's the whole reason why they went to war with Mexico, is they wanted Mexico to be this democracy. They wanted one of their neighbours to be a democracy. That's why they went into the First World War, because they saw Germany as this kind of autocratic power. And now they're just kind of reversing, like, 200 years of their history.
Yeah, well, it's
all, that's always been so integral to, you know, an American democracy. And one of the key elements of a democracy is elections and a peaceful transfer of power, which obviously didn't happen on January 6th.
No, like, it's like Donald Trump, like, talking about all these things, but like, I mean, we sort of had this massive discussion about like the whole like his first days in power and stuff, but like I think we sort of forget that like Donald Trump didn't do any of the stuff Joe Biden did at the start. Like Donald Trump didn't go to the swearing in ceremony, he didn't do the sort of like ceremonial final flight on, is it Marine One? Like, it's so crazy. And, like, you sort of see, like, remember, like, the TikTok hearings, and it's all like, if I search up Tiananmen Square in TikTok, what will come up? And the poor guy just got grilled. But, like every like, and the same thing with DeepSeek, which we were talking about earlier, like, one of the concerns is if you type up Tiananmen Square...
Nothing comes up.
Nothing comes up, but how long is it going to be before... when I type in on Gronk or ChatGPT or whatever one Meta come up with... If I ask who won the 2020 general election, will it say Joe Biden, or will it say... I mean, I'd be interested to try it out. I don't think I have
Gronk. Yeah, you could try it out now.
It's the Elon Musk one. Do I have it? Okay, so if I ask Gronk now who won the 2020 presidential election... Always good to have good grammar. So... It does say that Joe Biden won the 2020 presidential election.
For now.
But I think it's quite interesting. Like, I mean, this is obviously... And what you were talking about as well with, like, America sort of manifesting democracy and sort of assisting democracies around the world. This is all sort of coming to an end now with Donald Trump cutting the funding to the International Agency for International Development.
It's just brainwashing.
Yeah. It's crazy. But it's also crazy, like, America's... abandoning all this soft power that it's accumulated over the last 100 years.
I'm obviously, we don't know what Trump is gonna do in terms of I very much doubt he's gonna, like, obviously get rid of the concept of an election.
Well, he's one of his...
I don't think that would pass.
No, I don't think it's gonna pass. So he basically wants to make it so that you can't have two consecutive terms. But you can have, if they're in consecutive, so like, he wants to make it so you can go
as many times
Trump,
as you want.
Biden, Trump. So like, you can't go Trump, Biden, Trump. So
okay, fine.
But you can go Trump, Biden, Trump. That's what he wants. That's what he thinks should happen. But like, ultimately,
well,
like,
if
he's
he does,
gonna,
yeah,
I mean, I think this could be like the big problem for the Republicans in the future. Obviously, they've got a lot of time to think about it, but like, no one around him is going to tell him, we need to find someone to replace you.
But if he does that, then he's just becoming more and more similar to Putin.
Yeah, but I don't think he dislikes that.
No, this is...
I think, you know...
No, but we dislike it.
Be a dictator of the best country.
True, it is one of the most powerful countries in the world. Yeah, I don't know. But what I was saying is that if he does... I'm interested in what would happen after Trump's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting.
Who will take... So, for example, if he doesn't change the elections and it's the same system as we have now, and a Democrat comes in...
Yeah.
What will they do? How are they going to do it?
And what happens to America if, the last...
And also, surely there's going to be, a back and forth. Going to be, you spend the first 2 years just reverting the other one's government, and then it's going to be... And then the next government comes in, they're going to spend the... It's just a vicious cycle.
8 years of American history have been...
So backward and forward.
Trump coming in, doing all this stuff. He didn't get most of it done, but, he instituted a lot of executive orders, withdrew from the Paris Health Agreement... did all this stuff. Joe Biden comes in, first day, most executive orders in presidential history, reverses everything Donald Trump's done. Realistically, if a Democrat comes in next, that's what's going to happen. They're going to reinstitute the Mexico City policy, rejoin the Paris Climate Accord.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happens to America if they're just sort of in this endless sort of
vacuum,
which is why, in some ways, I'm... Because I recognise that there's no perfect political system, and I don't think the British one is. I think it's mental we use first past the post when Belarus is any country in the world that uses it. But the idea of a president is so... I'm not sure it's a force for good. I recognise it's the thing in Britain that we have is the Queen. Oh, sorry, the King.
Shocker.
I just miss her so much.
I miss her as well.
So the thing we have when she is our head of... He is our head of state.
Yeah.
And that means that we have this constant person in power who represents the country. And obviously that's what the president is in America. But the fact that and this is not just a Trump thing. The fact that Biden could pardon his entire family just in case... is mental. The fact that on the first day the president can change laws without any sort of oversight is mental. It seems like it should be a figurehead. I want the best American to be president.
Yeah.
I don't want the president to be able to do things. I don't know, it just seems crazy that...
Yeah, you mean the Prime Minister needs the monarch's permission, is that what you're saying?
Keir Starmer couldn't come in day one, and as much as people might want him to, he couldn't come in day one and go, no Rwanda policy.
Mm.
The Rwanda policy was basically, there was an idea in the UK to send a lot of illegal immigrants to Rwanda. He couldn't come in and go, America. You have to put it in the King's speech.
Yes.
Put it right that time. So you have that sort of and it's obviously in their manifesto, so they're allowed to do it and they don't have to have the support of the Lords. But he couldn't just come in day one and go, everything the Tories did, wipe off, and then we're never to when Nigel Farage becomes Prime Minister and our Grand Overlord. And we'll praise the Grand Overlord.
Well, Elon Musk doesn't like Nigel Farage anymore. Elon Musk is so powerful.
He
just needs to get his nose out of...
He's in Germany.
Didn't he accuse Starmer of raping Britain?
Yes. Well, I have Elon Musk blocked on Twitter X now because...
silly.
I don't really like it.
He just needs to get his nose out of other countries' business and also his own country's business because he's not a politician.
He's South African.
Yeah, this is true. But also, this is also a query I've been kind of tossing over in my mind. If I were Trump, I'd be looking at Elon Musk at the moment and I'd be like, just back off.
Yeah,
because you are becoming the most powerful man in the world. I'm supposed to be the most powerful man in the world.
But it's not even that. It's you're undermining all of my relationship. Here's the poor, poor people at the Foreign Affairs Department. we got all that cool with Britain. They want to ask why head of a government department is saying that the Prime Minister is raping... the head of Germany's on the line. What has he got to say? Elon Musk went to a rally and, started talking about, semi-pro-Nazi stuff.
Yeah, he did the Nazi salute.
He did. He definitely did. And he knew what he was doing. I don't believe this. Oh, it's a celebration. This is That is so...
I'm very glad we don't have cameras.
it's so stupid. Like,
it's just attention seeking.
He obviously knew what he was doing. And then he obviously knew that he was going to go, like, he's been supporting the Austrian branch of the AfD.
Yeah.
And then he's been going to AfD rallies in Germany talking about their heritage. Like,
what does he know about their heritage?
But, like, it's so... Imagine in any other, like, Western country, any other country even, if it's like, Angela Reeves just called Xi Jinping a knob. Like, but somehow Elon Musk is allowed to do that because he's not a politician.
Because he's the richest man in the world.
He is a politician.
Because he's got a foot.
Like, politicians have to be, you know, political about things. Like,
they have to be professional. Yeah. Yeah, let's bring back the age of professional politics. Because
let's
I'm not
back
seeing...
David Cameron.
Well, he's back, isn't he?
No, he had his comeback.
That was shocking. Was what was foreign, he? Foreign secretary. This is the man who sent our country out of the EU.
Well, he didn't want to, but yeah.
But he still did it.
Yeah, it's like... it's like when they bring back, like, the Spice Girls, like... Why is David Cameron back? But why is it sort of the right thing to do?
Yeah, I don't know. It's because, you know...
But he's a respected politician because he spent a long time trying to sort of improve Britain's position globally. And ultimately, like, the way he did it meant that we ultimately annoyed a lot of countries. Like, he visited Xi Jinping, was like, we're going to do this massive trade deal with China. And then went to go see the Dalai Lama, which is obviously not a smart thing to do.
Well, as long as Liz Truss is, you know.
Yeah, like, away. But that's the problem is that, like, in the UK, we've had a series of not very respectable politicians. Boris Johnson might have been a good politician, but he was a very respectable person. Like,
yeah.
But still, even he, or any of his cabinet, who, like even like the more extreme ones, like Suella Braverman, never. It just started insulting people, or like she actually wanted to go to a Trump rally, but they stopped her.
Yeah, well, I think also because they know that they alone cannot act on, whereas Trump knows that he could, if he wanted to, pull strings and get what he wanted.
Well, also, I feel like they believe, and I think this is the problem that they might run into later down the line, is that the order of power right now is Donald Trump at the very top, his cabinet. Like the Congress, so as I said, then maybe the Supreme Court, then Congress, Senate. Like, I don't really, you could fit the bottom two around. I feel like that is what the tier system is in America right now. But in, like, because it's new and Trump's doing executive orders and it's the first 2 years of a presidency where you hold both houses, so realistically the Senate and the Congress aren't as big of an obstacle, which is what a lot of presidents found. But, like, how long before... Because it always happens to Obama, it happens to everybody. Congress moves up that pyramid very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, how long before sort of Congress start just batting stuff down and going, look, and maybe even the Supreme Court, even though Donald Trump probably going to control the Supreme Court. Like,
exactly.
When is this going to start changing? And how do you think Elon Musk will adapt to that? Because he's not going to be, firstly, like, I think it's quite well known that Donald Trump is going to churn through people.
Yeah, like, he already is.
Exactly. Like, will Elon Musk be in his same position in 2 years?
Yeah, that's what I predict, that he'll have a dramatic fall from power. But
I think he'll have to, because ultimately I think the same as, like,
there can only be one
Trump. In his last
term,
Donald Trump realised that he had to do sensible politics.
Yeah.
And already Elon Musk's promise to cut $2 trillion from the federal budget.
It's
gone from a $2 trillion to a trillion to basically radio silence.
Yeah.
Like.
Speaking of not sensible, should we talk about US aid?
We should. I did try to link to it earlier.
Oh,
but
sorry.
We got
sidetracked with David Cameron.
We had a rant about Elon Musk for a while.
So he's basically, by Friday, all US aid workers have been giving. Like,
yeah, all USAID workers, all funding for non-profits, and all funding for...
Yeah, it's freezing all foreign aid.
And all funding for, like actual... So, obviously, the obvious example is Jordan, I think, where basically America has been subsidising their budget.
Yeah.
And that's all going.
So, he called all USAID workers a bunch of radical lunatics.
No, I don't want to be controversial here, but I don't agree with that.
You don't agree?
No. Now we can have a debate on the podcast. Yeah, what do you hate about charity workers either?
No, go on. Why do you disagree?
Well, because from a personal point of view, I like charity. Again, I don't know if Eva seconds this. One of my best mate's sister climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. I gave her £5.
That's good of you.
I don't make any money. This is all. This is coming out of future debt. No, but like, obviously, foreign aid is good. The world is not
right,
fair.
That's it.
Well, the world is not a fair place, and countries like America, Britain, France are reasons why the world is not a fair place. And it's only fair that they, they contribute. And I like that in the UK, obviously Boris Johnson reduced it under COVID, but I hope it's back now. But 2% of the budget is for foreign aid, I think.
Yeah. But if you like look at that, that's such a small percentage of the budget, but it's a lifeline for quite a lot of countries.
And I think, again, another controversial opinion. I think charities do a lot of good in the world, and I think that they deserve funding. But also, let's change perspectives. Like, I don't care about foreign aid. I'm an American.
It's all about isolationism.
I'm a not very well off American. Why is the country of Jordan getting all of my money?
Mm.
Like, for America, even, like, it's so much. They've built up so much power over the last post World War II. They basically had, they've had the spread over the entire world basically,
mm-hmm.
and they're just shrinking for no particular reason.
Well, I think so. America's always been slightly polarized, well, very polarized, and I think a lot of people,
like pre-World War II,
when Wilson tried to pass the League of Nations, everyone was like, well, not everyone, but a lot of people were saying, all our efforts should be concentrated to improving America.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have an obligation to help other countries, especially with France. So France was basically saying, France was basically really damaged by the war. They said, we want your back. Like, we want you to have our back so that if Germany ever tries to invade again, you will send troops and you will send aid in. And a lot of people saying, no, like, we are an associate of you, we're not an ally, and we kind of, American finances should be focused on American.
World War One was such a disaster for sort of American public opinion. Yeah. That they went so isolationist. Like, one of the most controversial decisions pre World War Two, pre Pearl Harbor, was the banning, was the US stopping selling oil to the Japanese.
That was a really huge
controversy in America, because obviously it's picking a side.
Yeah, but you can see this is what's happening again. It's like America is trying to focus. Well, actually, I'm not sure about that, because it's kind of contradictory there. Yeah. But kind of banning all foreign aid, but at the same time they want to expand their frontiers.
Exactly, that's what I was talking about earlier.
So like, it's not even isolationism. It's just like selfishness.
But also, it's more like, but it's they're shooting themselves in what is it?
The foot.
There's something like, spite of shooting yourself to foot to spite your face. There's a phrase like that. Yeah. Like, America's soft power, or its global outreach, is one of its greatest strengths.
Mm.
In that, like, when a country needs money or when a country wants development, realistically, the country they for anything, for military, for technology, they have to go to America. And what this means is that, you know, say Democrats come in the next election, or in the next 8 years, Donald Trump gets 2 terms. Democrats come in and go, look, we want to redo international aid. Jordan, we'd love to fund you again. And
Jordan's
go,
like, no, F off.
Like, you left us with no money out of the blue.
Exactly.
Like, it's, and then that'll be the case for, you know, the war in Ukraine. Like, if the EU have to pick up the slack on that, why would they trust America to enter other wars? Like, what, like,
but that's what I'm saying.
I heard this on another podcast, but basically, like, American systems and American software is obviously the norm around the world.
Yeah.
And the problem with it is that it needs Americans to operate it, because it's got elements of national security involved. So, like, when they pull out, no country's going to go, oh, yeah, we'll take your American technology, because they know that America can pull the people who can use the technology.
Yeah.
So it's such a net loss for American power. I mean, like, and you know, who's going to fill it? It's going to have to be the EU, probably. The another problem is that who's going to fill these voids in the world? Who's going to fund Jordan? Well, it's the EU or China. And the EU isn't exactly in the greatest place right now.
Exactly.
So, like, I mean, EU plus Britain, we can have Britain in there. But, like,
yeah.
It's such a... I think it's just such a backward step for the world and America in, like... They're allowing... Like, China already has a massive foothold in continents like Africa and in the Middle East.
Mm.
Like, it's allowing... Yeah, it's allowing China to further get into these places you don't want them to be, and maybe the world doesn't.
Yeah, well, maybe that will change things if China starts getting involved.
Who knows?
Anyway, on that rhetoric question.
Yeah.
We're gonna end the podcast. 40 minutes. It's pretty good.
Half the time it took us to double the time it took us to set up.
Yeah, and probably gonna take us about half an hour to send this off. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm sure James will be back next week.
If you
want him to be back, we can also just stop him from coming back.
Yeah, I have the code to the room now. Yeah, so.
And the code to the computer. Okay, right.
Thank you very much
for listening. Now let's try and turn this off. Oh my God.